Hello, this is Sean with Mental Theory Crafting. For this episode, I would like to talk briefly about Kanye, Kim, and Pete. This episode is really focused on some of the behaviors that's been coming out with being publicized. I've been seeing a lot in my social media popping up, different, things on Facebook, Instagram, and access to news that I have here in America that some others might not have around the world. So, for those of you who don't know or haven't been following, because there is a lot of other things going on, but not to take away from things like the Ukraine and Russia situation, but this news keeps having this sort of spotlight effect where it keeps getting brandished on different news stations after news stations after journalists. And it ends up taking away from what other things seem more critical that should be paid more attention to. Now I'm getting to the point where on my news stations, on my Facebook and everything, like this story is just dominating everything that is coming through on my feeds. So it's hard for me not to have an opinion about it. So the first thing is this. Every single adult, including myself, may have any opinion that they want about this whole situation. But at the end of the day, what is truly important is what the children are going through. As a person who's been through a lot of domestic abuse in my life, who's also made a lot of mistakes, and through his unawareness, has hurt people through certain tendencies, abusive tendencies, or for those of you who grew up with, say, narcissistic abuse. For anybody that suffers BPD or NPD or whatever the case is, narcissism falls on a spectrum. And, for you to be diagnosed with some sort of proper diagnosis of, I think, BPD or NPD or things like that, you have to be diagnosed, you have to have fit at least five of the nine characteristics of those personality disorders to be clinically diagnosed with that sort of label. It's for insurance purposes on one part, but the other part, it's for doctors and the clinicians to try to form some sort of treatment plan for that person to get them back into some sort of orderly personality that can give them a sense of normalcy that's not what they were groomed to be when they were children or they maladapted to be. Some of these people don't see it as maladaptation, though. They see it as strength, and they see it as power. And because of that, it enables them for so long that they don't see a problem with it. So a lot of these people don't get help, and they demonize therapy as a sort of weakness, or, getting some sort of teacher and other perspectives as some sort of weakness. Well, that's not true for all people on the spectrum. That's a small part of the spectrum. And for the other people that are on the spectrum, they do care maybe to get help. They might care to be self-insightful or have some sort of, inner shame or guilt and stuff about, their compulsions. Maybe they're aware of a little bit of what they do, but they don't exactly know the why of what they do or how to really effectively manage it. So that's where it comes with a lot of therapy. At least in American Western psychology, there's different avenues of therapy. EMDR, there's DBT, there's CBT, all kinds of different things. But that doesn't have to be the only method and methodology of, treatment or figuring out a way to, navigate this sort of universe. At the end of the day, though, if you put imagination into the child's perspective. Could you imagine your father posting videos of your mother's lover being decapitated as an art form? As a child, can you imagine your mother choosing a man who jokes about having sex with babies on Saturday Night Live? Can you imagine your mom choosing a partner that, you just met and started dating not that long ago, and he's already tattooing things like, "My girlfriend is a lawyer," as if Kim is some sort of property? We got to Pete Davidson that's doing the certain texts with Kanye, and Kanye is doing certain texts with Pete, and that's being flaunted on, social media for the world to see, as if it's, this sort of new beef that we got, new rivalry that we get, that sparks controversy. But sometimes, you know what? Some controversy needs to stop being sought and seen and glamorized as entertainment. And it starts to have to really be seen for what's really happening underneath the surface. Because I see a lot of journalism spin stories and, do the best they can to detract away from other things. But at the same time, we also live in a world of mandated reporting. And by definition, so many mandated reporters, which should technically be investigating that, I would think, Because at some point, you have to really, really question, like, just because they're celebrities or just because they have a lot of money, do we really, really have to keep allowing this to happen despite, they're the Kardashians or they're West or they're, it's Kanye, it's Kim, it's Pete, whatever the case is. Do we have to keep playing this game with people and people's lives only to keep manufacturing these type of people, right? The children gets to grow up with this kind of stuff and see a bunch of emotionally immature adults in this sort of a way. Teach them to grow up and be groomed also to be emotionally immature, and that's a selling point. So, for me as a father myself, I can be damn sure that if my ex-girlfriend posted a decapitated video of my partner's head, posted on social media, posted on YouTube, try to promote it for money, you better be damn well sure that I can tell you that that person is not doing it for me and the kids. And I can tell you damn well sure that I would not feel comfortable and safe with that person at all coming around my children until, or excuse me, our children, not even my children, our children. Until that person got serious, either mental health or they held themselves accountable, or until, I got put in a place where my safety and our kids' safety was truly threatened, and I might have to seek legal counsel, getting a restraining order or order protection, go no contact, if it gets too dangerous, get my name changed. I don't care. Because that's the sort of harassment that keeps getting perpetuated as, "Oh, I'm just expressing my feelings," or, "Oh, I'm just in pain," or, "It's just art therapy, and art is free speech," right? But if something happened to Pete Davidson, Kanye would be the first to be investigated for premeditated murder at this point. And he maybe didn't think about that when he was too busy trying to promote and sell his video about it. So, To me, I can't buy the whole thing where he's like, oh my, Kim's trying to prevent me from seeing the kids and all this other stuff, because you know what? I don't feel sorry for Kanye at this point when he's doing what he's doing. You know, for me, you can't tell me that you're a God-loving man while you're posting decapitated videos of people you personally know and dislike just because they're dating your ex-lover. You know, you can have all the disagreements and you want, but yet at the end of the day, you could focus on yourself as well. As you should be. But to have such entitlement where you can go date other people and post about that while trying to control what your ex-lover is doing is literally abuse. And, you know, it's trying to be played off as this sort of thing, you know, like it's desirable, that it should be fostered. And that we should keep advocating for that stuff, and we should keep promoting that because that's what sells. At some point, when do we keep going with this? And we don't keep asking ourselves, how far along are we going to keep pushing this envelope to where it keeps violating children this way, to where it keeps violating the adults this way, to where it keeps violating other people that have to sit here and watch this by proxy. This way, you know. Ask Kathy Griffin what happened to her when she posted a video of decapitating Donald Trump. You know, I remember exactly that when that happened, and pretty much now I don't even hear about Kathy Griffin really anymore. Do you? It's rare, like she's trying to make a name for herself, but to this day, like she, I, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think she has recovered since she did that little stunt. So, when you got Taliban people doing that stuff, and we're thinking, like, you know, these guys are terrorists and stuff, you got a guy that's being celebrated over here in America for doing something that's to his wife's lover, ex-wife's lover, excuse me. You know, now I don't think that Kanye is wrong at all for, not liking Pete Davidson. I think Kim can do way the fuck better. I think all three of them can do the fuck better for all three of themselves, honestly. It's all toxic. It's this sort of triangulation that keeps, you know, people addicted to this sort of love and idea of attraction. And to me, it's fatal attraction. And it's not even love, it's lust. It's deep lust and possession of people, and to the point of obsessive ownership. And where does that come from? You know, it certainly comes from our parents who treated us like we were just things to be owned and possessed. That we were not meant to be heard for our feelings, you know. Or for some of us, we were taught that we were too special, that we can do anything. We can be anything. We can be anything we want, no matter what, you know. And then we had our parents try to save us and protect us and shelter us from all the consequences. Because, you know, that's what we did. We tried to manipulate our parents that way or something like that. So, when you're a kid, it's not untypical to be a manipulator to some of the parents. And it's not untypical to have bits of narcissism in children, but that definitely eventually turns pervasive if it's not checked, especially if kids are just raised on TV and music alone nowadays, because it just perpetuates that sort of illness and sickness and violence that it should be acceptable and the norm and it's the standard. It becomes a gold standard. Life stops being about real creation, it starts being more about destruction because you've already been destroyed in your heart and soul, broken down, all this crap to have to be born again. But most people don't have to be broken down to be born again at all. A lot of people don't feel that they need to be broken down in order to be seen and hurt for who they are. They're just accepted from the start. And they have healthy relationships and maybe friends and family to, or guidance and teachers to, you know, have that. Maybe sometimes certain people like that do have that. You know, like Kanye, Kim, and them. Maybe they do in certain ways. But who knows how much of these people they'll actually allow into their lives, you know? Because sometimes, a lot of times with that sort of illness, if you got that BPD or anything like that, you know, you don't always see straight. You don't always accept help. You kind of stay stuck in self-loathing. And, you know, you don't really feel that you have a lot of capability to take risks, to move forward in certain ways. And you form this sort of codependency with, you know, the opposite person. Usually in BPD relationships, you're end up getting attached to a person with NPD. But that's not to say that, you know, a person that has BPD doesn't end up with somebody with something like PTSD, or another person with BPD, or somebody with ADHD, or maybe somebody has avoidant attachment, you know. They're maybe anxious, avoidant, rather than, you know, secure or something. It could be a lot of different factors that could actually mimic similar symptoms of narcissism. But a lot of us aren't aware of that. You know, a lot of us have probably seen all over the web, I can't tell you how many times I've seen, you know, people call people narcissist this, narcissist that, narcissist this, narcissist that. Where not everybody's a narcissist, not everybody's a clinician to be diagnosing people to be such labels. And not at all is it helpful to be labeling people like that. You know, because we just sentence people like that just because we disagree with them, or, you know, we just have this sort of spectacle and one-sided view of what is happening, but we might not know the full context of what is truly happening between all of that. So we just get what we get, we see what we see. But at the same time, you know, it's hard not to unsee certain things and levels of domestic abuse happening between the three of them. When you're a child of abuse and you grew up with domestic abuse all your life, where you sat in therapy in circles with tons and tons of people and clinicians that have been through similar, not exactly identical experiences, but very similar in nature, in the way certain things happened or played out, or certain phrases and words that were said. You know, especially if you're dealing with textbook narcissists, because, you know, that's why they call it textbook, because they're so damn identical with their patterns. It's like you meet one, you know them all, almost. But that can probably, if that can be said about narcissists, what does that say about a lot of other people? You know, if we can just learn and call this one group of people textbook narcissists and learn them and study them enough to figure out what they're like and all this other stuff, well, what does that say about the rest of the population that probably does have either disorders or doesn't have disorders? What other information is there? So, you know, if you're not being taught by your parents and, you know, you're not getting opportunities to be educated in certain ways, or public education isn't getting funded to, you know, fund those programs and things, you know, children miss out. So it's up to either privatized, you know, businesses and stuff to try to figure out solutions to either figure that stuff out and fill the gap, or, you know, government has to step in to recognize that certain abuse is abuse and start funding programs that actually, you know, advocate to trying to actually bring those numbers down rather than the statistics keep climbing. How many times do we got to keep seeing that, you know, rape victims don't get to have the people that raped them prosecuted and go to jail? How many times does a rape person not get to tell their story because they're afraid that nobody's going to believe them? How many times do we have to listen to somebody who gets beat the shit out of before we realize that, inevitable tragedy that's going to happen, we could have probably prevented them being murdered. But instead, we just saw it, oh, that shit's hilarious. Or, you know, it's just another day. Or, that's typical. Or, all the other excuses why we tell ourselves why that shit should be acceptable and okay. Just because we feel a certain way in ourselves. And that's just the way that we project and, you know, deflect into the world and make our worldview around us. I've been in the toxic triangle myself. And I can tell you it was not pretty. And I can tell you for my kids, it was not pretty. As much as I try to work with the person who kept wanting to have affairs and didn't want to care to listen to me, it did not matter what I did. As best as I could, that person was so convinced to hurt me. That's all they cared about. They wanted to hurt me. From the very beginning. Once I learned that this was the kind of person that I was really truly dealing with, I couldn't no longer idolize certain types of people anymore. This whole idea of idolizing and glorifying certain people for things that they do can truly backfire on you. And it can cost you so dearly that you end up losing yourself. And that's scary for a ton of people, losing yourself. I can't imagine that, you know, going through that sort of pain with what they're each going through, maybe they do or don't feel hurt. I'm not too sure in what they're doing to each other if they feel hurt, because if they're all just narcissists, then, you know, they're just all using each other. And at the end of the day, you know, what we do and say doesn't matter at the end of the day. And it's just going to be a tragic story for the children. If there is something that can be more done about that, and either Kim or Pete or, you know, Kanye all woke up to doing something more about that for the benefit of the kids and stop printing this stuff about, you know, publicizing everything that they do, focus on self-care, just really focus on nailing down the family and, you know, really getting their values down, their core values down. And just take time for, you know, away from each other and stuff like that, away from this disaster. But, you know, like I said, when this stuff is getting put out there, and it sells for a lot of people. And it's, you know, a form of fame and being infamous. And for some people, you know, infamous is still fame. Any bad attention is still attention. Bad press is a good press. But I don't know. I don't know how all you feel about it. But I can tell you this. I just want people to be able to move on with their lives, because there's so many other things going on. Down the street, I just had a person that I normally drive on, like, Uber. I deliver to Uber Eats. I drive down the street all the time, and they had a shooting 3 days ago on this street. And the next day, that person was a blip in existence. Nobody's talking about it. It just happened. Everybody moved forward and moved on. And maybe the people that really, like, were close to that person are still talking about it, but outside of that, you know, the person tried to shoot a police officer, and they lost their life, so it's, or not shoot a police officer, excuse me, stabbed a police officer, and they lost their life. But there was a shooting over there too, and just like these things happen. And, you know, I live kind of near Chicago, where, you know, a lot of these artists are from and stuff. And you know, you hear it on the news on like all kinds of Fox, like Fox News or WGN, or things like that, where it's just, you know, when it starts getting warmer weather and these people come out and crime goes up and all the shootings happen, and then you just hear people make ignorant comments like, oh, it's just another weekend in Chicago. You know, 30 people died this weekend. Oh, it's just another weekend in Chicago. Well, you know, some of those could have been innocent children just walking down the street. Some of those people could have been just sitting on their porch, just trying to have a nice day outside in nice weather, and they got gunned down by some ignorant ass gangbanger who didn't give a damn. You know? And then we got people just online just having this entitlement just to sit there and say this sort of sentencing, like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. Those 30 that died, they deserved it. As if they actually deserved it. Maybe not all of them did. In fact, if it in an ideal world, I don't think anybody should be shot like that. But of course, you know, we don't live in an ideal world. Life is too unpredictable and unfair and cruel for that. So we do live in a world where people get shot. They're gonna get shot. They're gonna keep getting shot. People don't want to stop shooting. People don't want to stop having guns to shoot. So people feel very ne the need to have that. History has proven that we've had to have some sort of need for protection. So, you know, to a lot of people, guns make sense. But to a lot of people, they don't. So, to each their own. Outside of that, I think that we should really be challenging what is constantly being put on journalism and start really reporting on what it means to be an investigative reporter, what it means to be, you know, a non-partial reporter. You know, stop perpetuating this idea that we need to keep spinning stories to keep a job. When if you have to sacrifice your core values to just go with things that are just going to manipulate people in a sort of unhelpful way, then just freelance. Or find a different reputable company that's willing to, you know, have honest journalism and stuff like that, rather than promoting stories that just fill a bunch of bullshit and it just keeps perpetuating and enabling this domestic violence as entertainment and glamour. I want to see mandated reporting more about this stuff. If celebrities and stuff are just going to make it public like that and put themselves and expose themselves out there like that, well, that shouldn't be anybody else's fault when they don't want to hold themselves accountable. So I think that some sort of accountability needs to take place, you know, in these sort of instances when you try to consider yourself in this perspective of the child. Again, I have to say it again. Imagine if you were a child and your father posted a video of a decapitated mom's boyfriend, how would you feel with that? Would you feel safe? Would you want to go see your dad? Would you want to go to church with him after that? Would you think that he believes in, really believes in God after that point? Do you want him around your mother after that point? Do you want him around your other siblings around after that point? You know? And again, with the whole Pete thing, about the whole joking about having sex with a baby thing, like, again, for Kim, like, for me, that's a no-brainer as a father. Like, I could not be with somebody. That would be a deal breaker for me immediately. Immediately. I don't care if they thought it was funny. They can go find that shit funny somewhere else. For me, I am a father of two kids. You think that fucking babies is hilarious? You need to stay the hell away from my children immediately. I don't blame ye for that at all. So, and then he's going in there and being in bed with his wife. Hell no. Hell no. Yeah, there's something going on with Kim too, provoking this shit, making this shit happen. So I would question her mothering ability after that point when she's doing that to the kids. Just a little bit. It's not always about what you can provide materialistically. It's about what you can provide for them emotionally as well in their emotional world. That's how the children feel heard and they can actually grow into being proper adults and humans and functional in a society, in a civilized society that demands them to do such. But let's not, you know, pretend to see what we're seeing here. I think Trevor Noah, you know, I don't always believe, you know, I don't always go for his comedy, but some every now and then, you know, I think he's pretty funny, and I think he has some very good, very insightful points, you know, for the commentator that he is and the comedian that he is. But if this were a situation where, say, for the instance that Kim was not meaning to perpetuate this, meaning perhaps she doesn't have narcissism, let's say that, right? Like, if I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to diagnose her, right? Let's just assume that this is a woman that has been traumatized by a narcissistic family, right? That is also trying to figure out her own identity, right? Which she also kind of sort of came out with, right? Where she said she wanted to sort of start becoming a lawyer. She started to realize that she didn't want to keep people pleasing just because other people demand it, right? So that could have been her, that could have been parents, that could have been family, that could have been, you know, that could be anybody. And so when anybody's gone through that sort of recovery, when you're learning to set and maintain your boundaries, you're definitely going to struggle. And honestly, after a possible and potential really toxic relationship, it's not unreasonable for people to go either in isolation mode, where they don't feel like they want to mess with anybody after that point because they were so distraught and shocked by what happened with that last relationship. Or they say, you know what? I was so deprived, emotionally deprived or whatever in this relationship, that I'm going to go through a fun phase. I'm going to go through this sort of phase where I'm going to try to find myself, because honestly, that's what some therapy actually teaches you, is that that's acceptable, because you're entitled to have a personal right to have a fulfilling sex life. It doesn't matter what other people say about that. You know, just because if other people want to be a little bit more conservative or reserved or possibly prudish in their exploits and stuff like that to engage in sexual activity with people, that's their choice, and it's a personal choice, a free will. Does that mean that they get to feel entitled to sentence other people to not have a deeper desire for intimacy or sexuality, or, you know, the sort of sex positivity behavior, you know? I don't necessarily always agree with that. Because, again, I believe mostly to each their own for a lot of things. But at some point, I honestly do believe that for any of them, they all should have some sort of mental health treatment, you know? Because I don't want to see anything, you know, the parents torn apart if they can help it. But if they're not willing to help themselves and see that each of them are causing destruction between each other in this dynamic, and it's going to ultimately impact the children, and they're just sort of incapable and not empathic to really care about that because they're too self-absorbed in their own whatever is going on in their own universe, then I feel like something else has to happen, the sort of mandated reporting, or some sort of other systems of accountability have to happen regardless of who they are, because, you know, like, we can't keep allowing children to grow up in worlds like this when we know how much devastation and destruction it causes for them. And we see it all over. So I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts more about that, how you feel about that. I know a lot of people do support Kim. I know a lot of people do support Pete. I know a lot of people do support Kanye. So for me, it's mostly about the domestic abuse evolved between them now, you know. It's not about what they're really doing as far as, like, what they do as their career. Because my kids and I like still listen to some Kanye music, but I don't entirely support him anymore with what he's doing, and I certainly don't feel like anybody should be supporting him or buying his album, the Donda 2 album or whatever, that's promoting this sort of abuse. Because, again, putting yourself in the child's perspective, imagine if my father was promoting the album and trying to sell it for $200. Like, as his kid, I would tell my friends at school not to buy it because, it's embarrassing that my dad is so insecure that he has to project that into this form of possibly and theoretically killing somebody that he dislikes just because, my mom is happy. And he wants to destroy her happiness while he feels entitled to make himself happy dating other people and having sex with other people. So, I wouldn't want my friends to do that. And with him posting what he's doing, I would have to go to school and deal with my friends and all that humiliation of all these people talking about it nonstop. And, it really just depends on whether, if I was even in public school, if I'm in a private school, or if, I'm just getting home tutoring or something like that to be sheltered from, that sort of ridicule. I don't know, but either way, at the same time, that sheltering and that isolation can turn to a prison really quick, depending on the emotional immaturity of the parents and what's happening. So I think the domestic violence needs to stop. And I'm tired of hearing about Kanye and Kim when their divorce is already over. I'm glad it's over. They were so toxic for each other, and I think that they both can each deserve their own glow up before they implode and blow up. So, but yeah, if you guys have any comments or thoughts about this stuff, feel free to share what you think at mentaltheorycrafting@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing any sort of comments or feedback, what you have to say about that. Thank you very much, listeners, for taking the time to listen to this particular episode. And if you have any time, please check out my other episodes to see what you think. Again, if you have any comments about those or any stories that you'd like to share, that you'd like to just even talk about or not even go public with it, we can interact. If you'd like just to sit there and talk through Gmail, or if you'd like, I'd be more than happy to share your story if you want me to do that, be anonymous. Or if you'd like to feel bold and try to see if you'd be open to having conversation talking about your story. Currently I don't have any sort of interview format for that sort of thing, but if anybody is open to doing something like that, feel free to, again, to reach out to me at mentaltheorycrafting@gmail.com. Please take care of yourselves, everybody. Whether you're having mental health issues or not, there's a lot going on again still with COVID. A lot of people are going through a lot of stress, deep stress. So what we need is deep rest to help compensate for that pressure. Take care.